From an undisclosable location, for the usual reason, security, as well as the attendant insecurity. I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is the mothership, the one and only Coast to Coast AM. John B. Wells in with you this evening for what I have named the Zombie Jambi Weekend, because I was with you on Friday night too, and I'll tell you, it's really stretched the weekend out really long, and well, it's an electromagnetic altered state. So here's the information coming to you literally at the speed of light. 500 affiliates across the country coming down from the satellite, over the internet, everywhere. The whole bloody world is involved. And tonight is going to be, well, here we are with our wild careening takeoff. I'm accustomed to those. The last time I flew, I was wondering, why is the aircraft pulling itself over the left? But then I copped to it, and it was I had a new pair of flight boots on. I was pushing on the left brake. That's why I was trying to go off the runway. So you should fly with me sometime. It'll give you a real look. There's nothing that'll make you appreciate life like a good close brush with, well, anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on out there. As you know, the East Coast is getting smashed with snow. And in fact, there's snow in Amarillo, Texas, of all things and of all places. Actually, it is Halloween. You know, typically when I was a kid, it would, down in Texas, it'd be kind of a mellow 60-ish, 70-ish something, you know, for all the way up until Halloween. And then there'd be a little nip in the air, and you would get those remembrances of like, happy times. You know, you feel frisky, and the oppression of the summer heat is over with. And they've definitely got that going on up east. The party's over for a lot of the people that are doing Occupy Wall Street. They're just freezing up there badly. It's all over Drudge Report. Let's see here. The demonstrators were left drenched with rain and then snow as the storm moved through the region. Central Park set a record for both the date and the month with 2.9 inches of snow, so they are not happy campers, quite literally. A number of other little points here. Looking at a site called Full Spectrum Dominance. There are some interesting, so this is interesting. Have you noticed that there is there's an increasing frequency of military activity in Africa? Of course, the Middle East is at the top of Africa. I recommend that everybody get a current map and look at this, and you say, oh, really? It's like, yeah, really, because you carry a world map around in your mind, but there's nothing that'll bring it home quite like having it on paper and being able to look at it. But get this one. British commandos made a dramatic amphibious landing on Somalia's war-torn shores to seize a tribal leader, the Daily Mail can reveal. In an extraordinary operation in a lawless area teeming with bandits and pirates, elite Royal Marines launched Viking armored vehicles from landing craft and pushed several miles inland to pick up the clan chief. The question is, what now? You remember how the Russians dealt with the pirates? First, it was like, well, why should we feed some pirates? We did not want to feed pirate. And then the next day it was like, pirates have all died. We were not clear on international law, and we did not really know what has happened, but the pirates are all dead now, so that's how those guys deal with it. So we'll see how the Brits deal with it. Hope it doesn't turn out to be the same method they used with the Lockerbie bomber. But that's just me. Ron Paul has won both tallies, a GOP straw poll in Iowa. You might already know about that. The U.S. is planning a buildup in the Gulf after Iraq exits. And blah, 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 blah. The buffet of buffoonery continues. Now, in the central part of the U.S. and the east, it's already Halloween. So, it straddles the line between fall and winter. Plenty and paucity, life and death. Halloween is a time of celebration and superstition. It is thought to have originated with the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain. I was going to say Shamhain, because it's spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N. But in any case, when people back in the day would light bonfires, wear costumes to ward off roaming ghosts. In the 8th century, Pope Gregory III designated November 1st as a time to honor all saints and martyrs. The holiday, All Saints Day, incorporated some of the traditions of, I'm going to call it Shamhain, or all right, Samhain, The evening before was known as All Hallows Eve and later Halloween. Over time, Halloween evolved into a secular, community-based event characterized by child-friendly activities such as trick-or-treating. In a number of countries around the world, as the days grow shorter and the nights get colder, people continue to usher in the winter season with gatherings, costumes, and the sweet treats. Good stiff drink probably wouldn't hurt either. Then you have All Saints Day, and then All Souls Day, which is November 2nd. There's lots of stuff on this, but in any case, here in the United States, people use it as a reason to behave like idiots, which I'm perfectly okay with, although I can't remember the last time I went to a Halloween party, because I'd rather sit in a studio, wouldn't you? Okay, tonight's guest, this is going to be interesting. It's a complete juxtaposition to Friday night's show, which featured a Satanist that we talked with for, I can't believe he sat there for 4 hours. He was charming and so forth and very friendly. Being a Satanist, I guess he could say he was always friendly, never nice, I don't know. But his name is Winter Lake, and he'll remove a curse from you for $700, according to his website. So if you're having problems with the curses, you might want to give it a shot. Now tonight, we have L.A. Marzulli. He'll be with us for the last 3 hours. And for the first hour, I would like to hear from you. I want to hear what your impressions are of Halloween, and then we will shift into religious subjects. Now wait a minute, before you touch the dial and go, oh well, please, it's going to be religion, I'm switching the show off. Wait a minute, you may miss something important. It may become important to you later, as a matter of fact. But the man we're going to speak with tonight, L.A. Marzulli, has written a book entitled The Cosmic Chess Match. And for anybody out there saying, ah, another book, it's like, well, again, try writing one. And you better have something there, because nobody will get through 10 pages of it if there's no substance. But I'm just going to read just a little bit from his chapter one, entitled, And the Gates of Hell Shall Not Prevail. And here it goes. For decades, we have been told that God is dead, and because of his demise, his burdensome law and commandments, along with the promise of eternal life or damnation, have fallen of their own weight into the oblivion of unbelief. Thus, there are no absolutes, no right or wrong, no supernatural world of miracles, any God-man born of a virgin or rising from the dead. Nothing is real but the vast reaches of space, millions of years of dispassionate evolution, and the natural selection that somehow produced us. We are nothing more than an accident, here to reproduce for no purpose other than to continue the human race. We may be but one of many other life forms that possibly inhabit the universe. Perhaps we were seeded here by a higher race, a higher form of intelligent life, a race of alien beings that were, in fact, our progenitors. Okay. That's true. And more to the point, in the big a big radio telescope down there in the Andes, a big thing. It's only 22% up to speed now. You know, a car crash is bad, right? It's terrible. But a collision of galaxies? Scientists are able to view the actual collision of galaxies. Can you imagine such a thing? Eons away, we're seeing something that happened, no telling how many years ago. Light years. The distance that light travels in the course of a year. It's a long ways off. But here's something that I find very interesting. No visible light telescope. No infrared telescope. No, now, radio telescope can detect anything but just a minor suggestion that there is any planet out there like this one. It's not there. Scientists have been breaking their necks, straining their eyeballs, and they're focusing on this until their brains are running out their ears, practically, to try and find a planet that will support life like this place. And you know what? So far, it's just not there. It's like, so what is this, Wells? Do you believe that there is some great big daddy up there in the sky? Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I believe there are many great big daddies up there in the sky. Allow me to quote, if you will, and then I'll explain why it's actually okay for me to do this, and then I'll turn it over to you, and then you can tell me if it's okay to do it. This is Exodus 15, verse 11. Who is like thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, majestic in holiness, terrible in glorious deeds, doing wonders? Thou didst stretch out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. That's Moses talking. So, how about the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, it sounds to me like there are other gods up there, many daddies up there, many, many daddies up there. But the question is, who's your daddy? Let's have some open lines and bring me your concerns, bring me your Halloween thoughts, bring us all your thoughts on the Satanist from Friday and the biblical literalist that we will have on tonight for the second hour. I want to hear from you. I want to know what's eating you, what's not eating you, what you're happy with, what you're not happy with. As far as our eternal souls are concerned, here on All Hallows Eve, the very first hour of it in the central part of the world, the second hour of it on the East Coast. You got 2 hours to wait there on the West Coast. Set them up and stand by. We will return. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. Well, I got some questions for you. Why are our children listening to music that calls for aliens to have sex with them? Why are bands naming themselves after the fallen ones? Why are riots breaking out in Britain and the Middle East? What will really happen in 2012? Does all this tie in somehow with the dreadful economic conditions in which we find ourselves? Why is Lady Gaga dancing with the dead? Was this predicted long ago? We shall see when we talk to L.A. Marzulli in just a little while. But at the moment, we have Solomon in Gardenia, California. I would like to speak with you. Come up on the bridge and speak to us, brother.
I'm speaking to you. It's Suleiman Edmondson, John. And John?
Suleiman. Sorry, brother. About that.
Okay, no, it's quite all right. First, I want to compliment your screener, Gina. She's absolutely a diamond. And
yes, she is.
You have one of the most magnificent voices on radio. I used to teach at the Los Angeles School of Broadcasting years ago, and you're very unique.
Well, thank you very much for that compliment, sir.
And I hope that we hear much more from you. I am the one that on Friday night, a gentleman called in and challenged Winterlake to look at my video on YouTube called Suleiman Edmondson Visitation from Jesus Christ. I'm the one. And, John, I had a three-hour visitation from the Son of God in 1990. And, John, there is a hell. I was taken there. And I want all of you out there to know that. And I also was shown judgment. I saw everybody on the planet, 7 billion people being judged, standing in rows like an army, and flames destroying those that were lost. I saw the nuclear war. I saw the war that was going to start in the Middle East when Iran is attacked by Israel and the United States. Russia and China is going to get involved. I saw the entire Middle East erupt in flames. But the scariest part of all, which is going to scare a lot of your listeners tonight as you go into Halloween tomorrow, on January the 28th, 1986, on the day that the Challenger was destroyed, I was part of a group that was praying for the Challenger and his crew because I felt and they felt that something was going to happen. 2 o'clock in the morning, at the foot of my bed, a portal opened up. It was a grayish blue, and a reptilian humanoid appeared, and this demon telepathically told me that he was Satan, that he was going to destroy the Challenger, that four of the astronauts were his. He showed me the four that were his, the three that were not, and I challenged him and said our prayers were going to stop it. He basically laughed at me, and he told me that 1 year from that day, and your people can check on the computer, 365 days from that destruction of the Challenger, he said he was going to destroy a toxic chemical plant in Europe. and the chemical plant was going to spew this poison throughout the river in Europe, and the governments would not tell the people. And he said tens of millions would die over several decades from this particular poisoning. And lo and behold, that happened. And I want to tell you and those folks out there, you've got to go and look at my video. It is Suleiman Edmondson, Visitation from Jesus Christ. It happened. He is real. And John, in 2008, when I was in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, Jesus Christ came a second time, and he told me that his return is imminent. It's going to happen in the north-northwest part of the sky on the west coast of the United States. And he took me to different parts of the world to see the reaction of people in regards to his return. And majority of the people were shocked and unprepared. When you look at my video that's free on the Internet, it tells you how to prepare yourself for the coming of Jesus Christ, which is imminent, meaning that this war in the Middle East, we are moments away from it. And I thank you for allowing me to speak tonight.
Give your YouTube address one more time for anyone who wants to go to it. Oh, he's gone. All right. Well, I hope you got it. Well, that was pretty cool. I tell you, he came straight out, straight to the point, said his piece, and was done. Boom, he's gone. He hung up. That's unusual. Robert, Wildcard Line. Forgot where you are, but you're in America somewhere. Come on into the Oklahoma. Hey man, hey. How's it going?
Yeah, it's great. I'm in Oklahoma, USA. Hey, I know a lot of people that own trucking companies out here, and I don't know if you're aware of all the TSA searches going on across the country.
No, tell me about it. That'd be good.
Well, they're like few parts of the country. They're not all over, but they're like stopping people and they're like searching them and stuff like that. Well, my friends that run these trucking companies, they believe that's totally unconstitutional, and they just told their truckers to just run right on through it and just go buy it. And that I know some bikers that are going to do the same thing, but they just said they're not going to put up with communist China style tactics in this country.
So and this is for real. They're really going to run those roadblocks?
Yeah, because they're in number, and they just said they're not going to put up with it. They said it's unconstitutional, and they just said it's un-American.
Well, you know, it is un-American in my opinion, but I'll tell you this. You know, of course, a guy sitting in this chair is going to you're going to be inviting some real problems if you were ever to even suggest any kind of civil disobedience that would evolve or morph into anything violent. But I'll tell you this, if these guys run these roadblocks and they're fired on, I think that's going to tell everybody exactly what they need to know. So I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope that this is just an isolated thing. I hope the government will reverse itself and come up, and perhaps we'll have a little bit of a breather before they come up with something else. But in speaking with some of the people that that I run into from time to time on purpose, many of the people in these departments are not aware of what the other departments are doing. And as I mentioned on Friday night, one fellow that I talked to with DHS said he doesn't even listen to the news. He doesn't want to. And I can kind of understand that, because it would be difficult for him to do his job if he carried that sort of an informational burden around with him. At the same time, I also see a profound downside to that. So here's hoping. I would like to think that this will straighten itself out and we can go back to being a normal nation where, see, when I was a kid, I'm not trying to do too much of the eye thing. I was warned about that by my friend Ed. So I don't want to turn this into an eye fest. But when I was a kid, you know, if the police showed up at your house and it was anything other than just a friendly cup of coffee or something with Jim or whomever, you were disgraced. And now it's like police all over the place. In fact, in downtown Dallas here recently, there was it just happened to be downtown. I drove through and there were a few people from the Occupy. They were occupying something. There wasn't any facility around for them to occupy. They were just going down Main Street. And lots of police around them. But the kids that were there were, they didn't seem to have any sort of a cause. They just seemed to be sort of a roving gang of complainers. We need to decide what it is we're going to complain about, and then complain about it in the right way, because things are getting violent with these protests, and people are being hurt, and they're being tear gassed and beat on, and both sides, the enforcement side of the law and the protesters, are each side is giving as good as they get. But if this evolves into or devolves into some sort of a problem, the point is not going to be made. And the iron fist of the police will come down. I want to hear some more of you. I'm upset. Are you? Let's get into it a little bit more on the other side of the break. We have to take one. John B. Wells in with you tonight. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm just like you. The only difference between me and you is I'm on the transmission end, you're on the receiving end. The left is wrong. The right is wrong. Everybody's wrong, right? It's like that old Fire Sign theater album from back in the day. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember that. There was a cut in there called, or actually the title of the album was, We're All Bozos on This Bus. And I'd just like to offer this. I think we'd better get past this hate and this division. And as sappy as this may sound, and I got to tell you, I don't care if it sounds sappy, I mean it. The only way out of this one is love. Love for each other, a recognition that we are all bozos on this bus. And we have to take this one day at a time, do the best we can, not just for ourselves, not the survivalist mentality, but for all of us. Are you okay with that? I hope so. I'm going to come back with some of your calls right after this. I'm John B. And this is Coast to Coast AM. All right, let's carry on with some of your calls here. Wildcard line. Jack is in Minnesota. Come on up on the bridge and talk to us.
Hey, John. It's the one and only One-Eyed Jack from Minnesota. How are you?
One-Eyed Jack. How are you?
I'm terrific. Boy, two tough phone calls to follow.
Well, I don't know. Not for One-Eyed Jack out of Minnesota.
After listening to the gentleman who had been visited by Christ himself and the government situation in Texas with the truck drivers, I'll tell you, that set you on your ear.
Yeah, a little bit. That was Robert. He was up there in Oklahoma, and he was saying that, the truckers go all over the place, so he wasn't saying, just for anybody who wasn't clear on it, that it was happening in Oklahoma. He just says they're not going to stop for them.
Well, whatever it is, it's wrong. And you made a comment just before break I have to make a comment on.
Hit me.
It wasn't what I originally had called about, but you said something, and that is the way it used to be. You know, when you were talking about the police and so on and so forth, and you know, one of the things that I remember, and I'm no puppy anymore, I think one of the best things for this country is not just living on love, as they used to say in the song, but you know, I think one of the best things that could happen, and George himself would appreciate this, is when we find out we're not alone, then we come together as the human race.
That's right.
Doesn't make any difference in color or religion or background or whether you're rich or whether you're poor or where you live. And, you know, it might kind of screw things up religiously from some of the beliefs that we have, but what I originally called about is I talked to a very nice young lady who screened my call, and I told her, I said, you know, when they were talking about galaxies, you know, colliding and so on, can you imagine? And there's no other planet like ours. If you don't believe there's some kind of great creator or spiritual being, the story I remember, and I'm not typically religious, but I'm very spiritual, is a story about the person who had a belief and the atheist. And the atheist asked the person who had a spiritual belief, what if I'm right? When you die, what if that's it? And he says, well, then I'll be dead. But what if I'm right? And the atheist says, then I guess I've spent my life being totally wrong. And the person who believes said, you know, if I'm right, it doesn't matter, does it?
Well, that's true, you know. Did you ever see this movie with Ed Harris in it called The Third Miracle? It was funny. He got, you remember the part where he gets a little alcohol in his system. He goes and talks to
has a little drink, bitches. Yeah,
and he says, you know what? If we die and there's nothing there, we're gonna look like a couple of real asses, you know. you know. But that's the worst thing that can happen. The flip side of the coin the worst, is, well, yeah. If there is something there, you know, like they say, he's coming, look busy.
You know, and the one thing that bothers me, John, the most, I guess, is I lost my sight a few years ago. That's why they call me the One-Eyed Jack.
Oh, gotcha.
And I see the world totally different now than I did my first 55 years before I lost my sight. And if I could look back now and do things that I could have done when I had my sight, some of it would have been community service, but a lot of it would have been in regards to just turning people to the fact that it isn't as bad as you think. You still get to know your neighbors, and you watch out for each other. And that's what this country was built on. And that's been lost, and I feel very badly about that. The young people today, they don't even talk to you. They're so busy talking on the phone and texting. There are no face-to-face.
Isn't it interesting that the more connected we are, the less connected we are, the more isolated we are with every... With ever-increasing connectivity comes increasing isolation. I think that's what I was trying to articulate.
That's what I love about this program is it brings out the best, I think, in a lot of people. I wish you had many, many millions of more listeners than you do, and I know you have just hundreds of thousands.
Well, I heard 16 million the other day.
Pardon me?
I heard 16 million the other day. That's
Well, that's still not enough because as massive as this listening audience is, it isn't enough. These
208
people open their minds and open their hearts and start to believe that the world is going to be better. You know, I hate to tell you this, but you know, I missed the rapture.
Yeah.
A while back.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm afraid I'm going to miss the 21st of December next year too.
You'll be here.
I don't know what I'm going to do because I was born on the 4th of January. I don't know if I could celebrate another birthday without that going by.
Well, you know what, man? It is written that nobody's going to know, so I guess we're just going to have to hang in there and see how this all turns out. Jack,
John, I sure believe in you and your program and George and all the people that you have on your program, and I wish more people would open their minds and their hearts to what you guys believe in.
We'll work on them. Like I say, only we've got 16 million of them now. We've got conservative estimates, 284 million to go, so we're going to work on it. Take care of yourself, will you, brother? East of the Rockies, George in Canyon, Texas. Come up on the bridge and speak to us, will you?
Morning, John. How are you this morning?
Oh, just too good for my own good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I agree with you that there is the one God, and also, like the Native Americans believe, that there are many. Just like other civilizations have had many gods. But like the Native Americans also believe that there is the one God above all their other gods.
So that's right.
Yes, there is a supreme God. And
well, this thing's awfully big, and it's a little bit of a stretch for me. This is my riddle, and I like to pull this out every so often, and that is this. Define zero. Tell me where it is, and tell me what was there beforehand. Mathematics will not function without it. Vedics made a big deal out of discovering it. I want to know what nothing is. And more to the point, since it can be identified as something, well, then nothing becomes something, so therefore nothing is something. The other part is this. What if the grand creator, the one we call God, the God of Abraham, what if he deals in neither time nor space? It says right in the book, time is a thing that's given to you. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, not adding or taking away.
Yeah.
It's something that you're given so you can keep up with where you are in this realm. But what if the creator of all of this deals in neither? And if he deals in neither, then what does he deal with? Thank you very much for your call. I need to get some other folks on the line before we bring on our guest, L.A. Marzulli, to discuss the cosmic chess game. Wildcard, Anson, Queens, New York. Are y'all freezing up there or what?
Yeah, John. How you doing?
I am doing all right. Are you really?
Well, anyhow, I hope you all your listeners are doing okay, wherever they are, because you know, just thinking about things, taking things into perspective, a lot of focus is on next year, 2012. Some say it's a period of enlightenment. Others say it's a transition. And then you have those who are saying it's like gloom and doom. My perspective is that it's a change that's coming. I believe it's a change for the better, because it's like we're going through a realm of from the unknown to known. And, you know, you see what's going on in the world, all the turmoil, the wars and stuff. All this is in the Bible. It's just, when you think about all the prophets, like Isaiah and Jeremiah, what their message was about, you know, it's just, the Bible is like a playbook for each era. And like the Mayans are saying, we're about to enter the fifth world. I truly take it from that point of view, because it's like in the past four worlds, there's been catastrophes that ended that cycle.
That's right.
And I think we're getting ready to enter a new cycle.
Well, I think you're right. Thank you very much for your call. You know, here's the thing. A really bright guy in Texas. He's worked with the military for many, many years. He building stuff that is really innocuous, not building stuff that blows up or goes boom in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, talking about seat frames for various vehicles and windscreens and battery boxes, stuff like that. He made the comment that this is the same guy who said, you know why I quit lying? I couldn't remember what I told people, which I thought was a really, really good philosophy to just go ahead and hold on to. But he said, we've lived way too large for way too long. And the entire history of our civilization has been more, better, improved wealth. There's nothing that'll bring you back to center quite like being without all your stuff. Very much like what was said in one of my favorite little pictures, Fight Club. The stuff that you owns you. Now, I want to address an email here. A fellow named Steven said, wrong, you're wrong. We the people have the right to address the biggest unaccountable looting in American history that brought about the greatest disparity in American history that now ranks 34th in terms of nations with such great disparity. I agree with you, Steven, but here's the thing. What I'm saying is there's a right way to do this and a wrong way to do this, and the wrong way to do this is to keep pushing it until we descend into chaos and anarchy, because then we're going to have not only, you know, everybody wants to come to the party, nobody wants to stay and clean up. You got me? First-time caller, Mike, in Collierville, Tennessee. Come on up on the bridge and speak with us, will you?
How you doing? It's an honor to talk to you, sir.
All right. Goes both ways. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I had gotten this email about the ghost voice on iTunes. I just wondered if you had heard about
it. No, that's a new one. That's a new one for me. Tell me about it.
Band called Drowning Bear has a song called Blue Cool. I downloaded it, but like I told you, call screener, I don't have the technology like a ghost hunter show would use to isolate audio. I can hear some sort of a sound that says 119 mark of the song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bringing it up, looking at it right now.
There's a lot of that stuff that goes on. You know, these guys with their digital recorders that pick up spirit voices and so forth. Really, every transmission still exists. Every word that is spoken still exists somewhere. At least that's the theory, and it seems to be true. So don't let that spook you too much. It doesn't surprise me at all that a ghost shows up on iTunes. I can't even get the song list out to L.A. in the correct order. Andrew in New York City, Wildcard Line, talk to us, will you? Come on up on the bridge and take a chair. Andre, I'm sorry. Well, I can't read my own writing. That's part of the problem. Yeah, you're on. Yeah, you're here. Come on. Oh, good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Okay, thanks.
Okay. The reason I call is I've been trying to get in touch with Coast to Coast for a good while because I enjoy your shows, the people on it. And I find that a lot of things that these people are saying are absolutely right. Now, myself, I'm a photographer. I've been a photographer for 40 years. And for the last 7 years, I've been photographing these strange light anomalies all over Westchester County. And it got to a point where I started noticing these things moved in some intelligent form or manner. And I come to find out that these light entities from the photographs that I photographed, I'm talking about thousands of photographs over 7 years, that they're actually biological entities. Now, most people, when I show them to them, they can't figure out what they are. They think it's some odd little cloud or something like that. But these entities have actually came down out of the air and hovered over my head. And they also have attacked me. In other words, strange green lights are just flying through the air, and all of a sudden they come down, swoop down on me, and actually attempt to kill me.
All right, I'm gonna tell you something right now. What you're telling me, what you're telling all of us, is not. I don't dismiss this as like some sort of a wacky crank call. I want to ask you a question about the green light. Would
right.
you describe? And I don't want to put words in your mouth or thoughts in your head. No, I wouldn't try. But let me ask you this:
mm-hmm.
Was this green light anything akin to sort of a day glow green, like one of those glow sticks?
No.
These
are round balls, are like similar to what a laser would show, a round oval shape, and the light changes shape and form, and it actually maneuvers. And also, when you see it, it has a tendency to hypnotize you, or to like what a squid would do with a fish, what do you call it, a cuttlefish,
mm-hmm.
and it gives off some kind of microwave. Energy that you can feel, and you will start to feel hot and start to burn.
This is what I want you to do, because I want to get a couple more callers on. I don't want to be rude and I don't want to cut you short, but this is what I would like for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Try and get some sort of a photograph of this thing. I know this is ridiculous, but would you attach it to an email and send it to me at johnb@coasttocoastam.com. I want to see this thing.
Oh, I'd be glad to.
Do that. Okay, stay in touch by email.
Right. If you would like to, if you go on YouTube, you look under the name Doggone Gray Hunter. That's gray with an A. You'll see on YouTube videos of these entities that I've been taking for the last 7 years.
All right. Thanks, Andre. Stay in touch, will you? Yeah. Stay warm, too, pal. All right. Wild card line. Gene in Napa, California. Come on up. We're running out of time, and I want to hear from you. Everybody else does, too.
Hello?
Gene, are you there? Is Gene there? Oh, God. Okay. No, I thought Jan was in Brooklyn. Never mind.
Hello? Hello?
Who is this?
This is Jan from Brooklyn.
Hey, Jan. How you doing?
Howdy. Listen, the thing that scares me the most is, like, entity stuff. I mean, I was at a lecture, and this girl doused over a shaman, and this ball of energy jumped into my body. And for like a month afterwards, I was sick. And, you know, when you have this entity stuff in you, you can't even feel like cold air on your body. It's like crazy. You don't want to be touched. You don't want to do anything. It's nutty. And then, luckily, I got rid of a lot of it, but there might be like 10% left in my body. And then one night I was lying in bed and all of a sudden my leg became paralyzed. And I couldn't move, and I had the most excruciating pain. I thought I was going to die. I mean, I couldn't get up. And luckily, I have a mineral infrared lamp. So I put the lamp over my leg, and like in 3 minutes, it disappeared. Because I heard they don't like electrical fields. I mean, this demonic entity stuff is like so scary. And my body never, ever burnt. And sometimes once in a while, my back would start burning.
I don't know what to tell you about this.
Jumped into me.
Well, try and do a little research on it. Get with somebody that's close. There are a lot of people up there may know something about this, and get back to us on email. This is very interesting. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Hold Gene over from Napa and hold Eric from Florida. And at the other side of this break, we'll talk to him. So get a glass of water. Please listen to these commercials, patronize our sponsors, and come back. John B. Wells in with you. Coast to Coast AM will continue.